This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In today's session of women in the Quran, it's going to be a bit of a shorter session, but we're going to be reflecting for a moment, inshallah, on the topic of, you know, one of the very important changes that the Quran made with regards to women. And that is in the ayah of Surah At-Takwir, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Right? In this very simple subhanAllah, beautiful ayah of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to human beings that harming their newborn baby children, their baby daughters, was something that they would be questioned about. So the topic today is about female infanticide. And I don't know if you realize, but even in modern times, female infanticide is one of the biggest problems in the world when it comes to children and babies and their deaths. I'm just going to read to you some of the stats regarding female infanticide. And you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. And then I'm going to explain to you the context of the Quranic ayah. And then you'll see what an amazing impact Islam had on the society in which, you know, Islam or the Quran was revealed, when it comes to women and girls. Okay, so what does female infanticide mean? It's basically the deliberate killing of newborn female children, okay? And you might be shocked by the idea of it, but actually, even in modern times, sometimes it's done because people want to select a particular gender for their child, and they're disappointed that their baby is a female, okay? Sometimes it's done because there's some kind of limit, like for example, in China for many years there was a one child limit, right? Like there's only one child allowed for each family, and so parents, for some reason or other, decided that they'd rather have sons than daughters, and so this led to many deaths amongst you know, baby girls. Now, I don't want to say deaths. It's murder, right? That's what it is. It's killing, the killing of baby girls, of newborn female children, right? Let me just give you some stats regarding this. So the countries in which there's actually a severe, very severe case, numbers of cases, two countries that come to mind are China and India. Okay. And unfortunately, Pakistan is also mentioned as one of those countries, right? Which is very disappointing when you understand the context in which the ayah of Quran was revealed. Okay. So here it says, China has a history of female infanticide spanning 2,000 years. Okay. Even when Christian missionaries arrived in China in the late 16th century, they discovered female infanticide was being practiced. Newborns were seen thrown into rivers or onto rubbish piles. And there are various historians that documented the practice of female infanticide. Sometimes the baby girls are drowned, suffocated, starved. I mean, this is chilling stuff, right? I mean, it's utter cruelty, utter cruelty. And I think, what else does it say here? It says, the majority of China's provinces practiced female infanticide during the 19th century. In 1878, French Jesuit missionary Gabriel Perlautre collected documents from 13 provinces, and he found evidence of female infanticide. Okay. A white paper published by the Chinese government in 1980 stated that the practice of female infanticide was a feudalistic evil. You know, the UN, they passed resolutions, or they tried to make these treaties and documents banning female infanticide. But really, it hasn't really had any effect, you know. In India, it says the dowry system in India is one given reason for female infanticide. So in India, when a girl gets married, she's expected. So this is a Hindu custom. It's nothing to do with Islam. Although some Muslims have adopted this from the Hindus. The dowry system, which is basically that girls, when they're getting married, have to provide a lot of things like money, sometimes property, sometimes, you know, goods to the husband's side, right, of the family, which is utterly ridiculous. But anyway, because of that system, and because parents, especially poor parents, know that in the future they're going to have to provide so much, there's a high rate of female infanticide in India. There are rubbish dumps for babies in India. I mean, it's really, really heart-wrenching, even though apparently the government has tried, you know, to ban it and to put certain measures in place. Sometimes people are aborting baby girls instead, right? So instead of killing them after they're born, they'll do it just before they're born. The children's rights group CRY, CRY, has estimated that of the 12 million females born yearly in India, 1 million will have died within their first year of life. The United Nations has declared that India is the most deadly country for female children, and that in 2012, female children aged between 1 and 5 were 75% more likely to die as opposed to boys. And, you know, it's actually like a prevalent practice amongst certain castes in India. And in Pakistan, although the practice is punishable according to Islamic law, there are cases of female infanticide. And it's mainly to do with, you know, if children are born out of wedlock, etc. And due to ignorance, basically due to ignorance, right? Now, subhanAllah, one of the negative causes, of course, apart from the fact that it's murder and it's killing human beings, in some countries there's a huge surplus of males because of this. Okay, so it's causing all sorts of problems. And of course, it's an evil practice that the Quran 1400 years ago condemned. And so the context of that is that in Arabia, at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, female infanticide was a cultural practice, okay? And the Quran even describes it. The Quran even describes it, subhanAllah. And let me just, and of course we already mentioned, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. And Allah says, when the female infant is buried alive, who is buried alive is questioned, for what crime was she killed? So in Surah Al-Takwir, which is chapter 81, ayah number 8 and 9, Allah says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. So the purpose of this ayah, or the meaning of this ayah, is that Allah is telling us that on the day of judgment, the female infant who was buried alive, who was killed, is going to be asked, why was she killed? And so in other words, her death will be counted, and those who killed her will be brought to account. Will be brought to account. And so Islam not only forbids female infanticide, but it forbids all types of infanticide, irrespective of whether the infant is male or female. But in this ayah in particular, the female infant is mentioned. And so the Arabs, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, before Islam, you know, it was common for them to think of it as shameful when, you know, they had a baby girl. In Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 58 and 59, Allah describes that when news is brought to one of them of the birth of a female child, his face darkens and he's filled with inward grief. With shame does he hide himself from his people because of the bad news he has had. Shall he retain it on sufferance? The choice they decide. When one of them is informed of the birth of a female, his face becomes dark and he suppresses his grief. He hides himself from the people because of the bad news that he's been informed with. Should he keep it in humiliation or bury it in the ground? Unquestionably evil is what they decide. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran that a man, a father, being given the news that he has just had a newborn daughter. And it's so terrible, you know, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it, the scene is so terrible. You know, he's been given glad tidings that he has a daughter, and yet his face darkens, his face, there's like a shadow over his face because of how embarrassed and sad he is, subhanAllah. And he hides himself from the people, all right, from his people, from his you know, his clan and his clansmen, because of the evil of the news that he was given. And now he's in this state of worrying, or like he's got a dilemma. Should he keep the baby, or should he bury it in the ground. Can you just imagine that? Unquestionably evil is what they decide. Allah says in Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 58 and 59. So you see in these two places in the Quran, specifically about females, girls, baby girls who are born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that this is a shameful thing, a shameful practice of the pre-Islamic Arabs. And that not only that, but that, you know, the person who does this is, and look, in, you know, in this example, it's the father, right, who's making this decision, which is terrible, even worse. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is mocking the person, you know, like making fun or kind of pointing out the how terrible and how shameful it is that this is even happening, you know, how inhumane it is. And in the other ayah, in Wa idha al-maw'udatu su'ilat, that we mentioned, Surah At-Takwir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making clear that the person will be brought to account on the Day of Judgment. They might think that they're killing a baby girl, an insignificant, voiceless baby girl, right? A baby girl that couldn't speak or defend or fend for herself. But on the Day of Judgment, that baby girl is going to be a proof against that parent who caused that baby girl's death. And of course, in Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in general, kill not your children for fear of poverty. We shall provide sustenance for them as well as for you. Verily, the killing of them is a great sin. Okay. So, 1400 years ago, this practice was prevalent in Arabia. But what you must realize is that within 20 years of Islam being established in Arabia, within about two decades, right, this practice was completely wiped out of Arabia. Completely wiped out. And so this is the power of the Qur'an. This is the power of Islam and the power of the Qur'an. That the Qur'an has the power to remove and change and completely turn upside down cultures. You know, Islam keeps the best of the culture, right? So there were elements of Arab culture that were beautiful, that were good. Those things were kept. Those things were magnified even, you could say, right? But there were elements of Arab culture that were evil and terrible, like female infanticide. And those were spoken up against by the Quran. And not only that, but they, and because of the power of the Quran, because of the power of Islam, and the power of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message, female infanticide was wiped out of Arabia within a couple of decades. And so what we must understand is that the power of the Quran is that if a nation really takes it to heart and really applies it and really becomes truly, you know, submits to Allah truly, it also has the ability to wipe out things that are very culturally ingrained, that are cruel and that are crimes like this. You know, places like India, places like China and Pakistan even, right? I mean, it's an embarrassment, really, to mention Pakistan in the same breath because, you know, Pakistan is a Muslim country. But we know that Pakistan used to be part of India and, you know, cultural things, you know, run very deep. And it shows you also that Muslims have moved so far away from Islam, right, and from actually applying Islam and adopting the Quran into their lives, that, you know, they haven't allowed it to have the effect that it should have, right, on their faith. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, conveyed to us in the Sunnah that bringing up baby girls is a blessing. Children of all, you know, all children are a blessing. And that a person should never fear poverty and, you know, think of harming their child because of poverty. No, it's the opposite. Every time you have a child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that He will provide for that child in some way. You know, you will notice that your rizq, your provision will increase when you have a child in some way, because with that child comes their rizq. With that child will come their rizq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, anyone who brings up two daughters properly, they will be very close to me on the day of judgment, right? And you know, he held up his two fingers, and so the very the difference in height between, you know, the middle and the index finger, this is how close that person will be to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. In another hadith, you know, whoever brings up two daughters properly and treats them kindly and justly shall enter paradise. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had daughters, and his sons passed away. You know, some say he had like two sons, and some say even, you know, other numbers, but they passed away in their childhoods. Okay, and subhanallah, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known, when his daughter Fatima would enter the room, to actually kiss her and let her sit in his place. You know, this is the love that the Prophet ﷺ showed his daughter. And he was not afraid to show love. And also he honored his daughters. His daughters were the coolness of his eyes. He himself was surrounded by daughters. You know, that's what his children were. Subhanallah. And all of his like descendants were from his daughter, right? Fatima radhiyallahu anha. So we see that Islam completely changed this culture, which was this culture of preferring boys over girls. In Islam, you know, we said that in India, for example, one of the reasons is due to the dowry, right? That people perceive that girls, you know, come with this burden of dowry. In Islam, there is no dowry. There's only a dower. A dower is different to a dowry. Dowry is what, in some cultures, like in the Hindu culture, you know, is the girl's side of the family have to give when they get married, when the girl gets married. In Islam, there's no dowry. There's nothing for the girl's side to give, right? It's the opposite. There's a dower. And a dower is when the husband, the boy, the male who's getting married, it's for his side or him to give provision, to give gifts, you know, a certain amount of wealth, you know, as a dower. So, alhamdulillah, you know, Islam changed people's attitudes towards having baby daughters, and made daughters blessed. I'd like to know from you if you have any thoughts on this topic. The main message of today's session is that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran brought so much change for women and girls, and one of the key things was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebuked people who used to kill their baby daughters, and He made it honorable, and He made children a blessing. He made it honorable to bring up baby girls, and He made it a blessing to bring up children, and He promised to provide for parents. And this, as I mentioned, changed Arabia within 2 decades. It wiped out female infanticide from Arabia. And as we said at the beginning, female infanticide is still very prevalent in India and in China in particular, in those two countries in particular, which is very, very sad. And the UN has passed so many, like they had a whole conference where it was focused on female infanticide, and you know, they drew up a treaty, and it still hasn't had the effect. The Quran, on the other hand, wiped out female infanticide in 2 decades from a culture in which it was very ingrained, from Arabia. That is the power of the Quran, dear brothers and sisters, and that is the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows to his female servants in the Quran. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise, you know. Sometimes sisters, they buy this narrative that the Quran is in some way against women, or that the Quran is in some way, you know, biased towards men. It's not the case at all. You know, they might be ignoring some very important, monumental changes that the Quran brought about, that no other document, no other scripture has ever been able to bring about, you know, in the history of humankind. And with that, inshallah, with that powerful thought, inshallah, I will leave you. If you have any questions, or if you have any comments, please do share them. Now you can make a request, I think. Let me try to make sure that you can make a request. Yep, you should be able to make a request if you have any questions or comments on this particular topic of female infanticide and how the Quran powerfully rebuked those who indulged in female infanticide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disparagingly describes a father who, you know, is sad when he has a baby daughter. And the Quran, in no uncertain terms, says that do not kill your children. You know, and our times, it's not even just killing, you know, it's not even just female infanticide, it's abortion, right? Like people killing babies that are fully formed babies. Sometimes babies that could be born and could live if they were outside the womb, right? People killing them. It's another type of, you know, female infanticide. But it's all rooted in ignorance, and it's rooted in a lack of tawakkul, a lack of belief and trust in Allah, you know, fear of poverty. It's rooted in a lack of understanding for the value of human life. If there are no comments, then inshallah I will leave you for this session. I hope that you found that beneficial. I hope that was powerful for you to reflect on the power of the Quran to wipe female infanticide from Arabia within 2 decades. Please do help our organization. We are trying to launch a conference, courses. I would love to launch this Women in the Quran as a fully fledged course for sisters up and down the country, for students in particular, you know, in ISOCs. Can you imagine if we were to educate hundreds or thousands of sisters on the topic of womanhood in the Quran, so that they had no doubt that the Quran was revealed for women as well as men, that the Quran speaks to women as well as men, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored women through the Quran. Imagine the impact that would have on those sisters' lives and on the next generation. Because those, if you'd love to help our work, please go to launchgood.com/Muslim women. That's launchgood.com/Muslim women. And just make a donation today, and that will go towards us preparing and, you know, paying for the platform and stuff like that for this course, you know, to be able to deliver it properly to thousands of sisters, inshallah, inshallah. And it will, inshallah, weigh heavily on your scales, I pray. So please do go to launchgood.com/Muslim Women and support our work today. Jazakum Allahu khairan. And with that, I will leave you. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به.